Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And good Monday morning, everyone. Welcome in on this September. I'm so out of it right now. September 2nd, November 2nd, October. It is one day until the election, and there's so much anxiety right now for our big election in the United States. I can't believe it would come down to this, you know, as campaigning started like 3 years ago. So on the show today, we're going to talk about the latest races, where we are in the Senate right now, because that is where Wall Street's anxiety is stemming from this morning. Yes, the market is a mess. Wall Street, hedge fund managers, they're all nervous this morning because of a potential Biden victory. But what happens in the Senate? Could everything be thrown into a stalemate? We'll look at this potential, which is not even really potential anymore. It's starting to become reality by the hour with the latest poll numbers. It could be, instead of a blue wave, we could be in for a nightmare this morning or over the next 24 hours. We're going to talk about voter suppression because there was a big setback for those people trying to suppress the vote yesterday. We'll tell you in what state we saw major voter suppression kick to the nuts. So if you were hoping to suppress the vote, if you were hoping to be able to take a bunch of ballots that people cast and throw them into the trash, it's not going to happen. We'll tell you where that happened in one state. We're also going to look at the mainstream media. We've got more lies from the mainstream media this morning. I know it's shocking, if you can believe that. And I know, where does it come from? CNN, The Atlantic, The New York Times, the list goes on and on. We've got some more mainstream media lies from major publications this morning, and we'll be looking at that. So all of that and more coming up on the show today. Let's start with this market, though, this morning on the show. I'm hearing some jazz. Is that going to stay through the show?
I can shut it off. It's off.
Okay.
Was going to let it go through your intro and then shut it down when you go to the...
Okay, news. Gotcha. So if you hear Dave, producer Dave is in the house.
Hello.
Behind the scenes over in our booth. Welcome in, Dave. So we're going to...
Thank you.
Have you been getting any sleep, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I literally have a behind the scenes shot here in my studio.
You do?
Yeah.
You have a behind the scenes. Here in our studio, here in the production booth is Dave. Yeah. Behind the scenes. I need to get one of those like over my shoulder.
Yeah, that's just a GoPro.
Have you been getting... Oh, I need to get one of those. What's your level of anxiety right now? Are you feeling anxious about the election? Are you letting it affect your day to day? Are you worried about things?
I'm really honestly not. I'm not worried because it doesn't, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter much. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen,
right. Oh yeah.
We've seen that year after year after year. So I'm not losing any sleep over it now.
Well, Dave's not losing any sleep over it, but you know who is Wall Street. The market is a mess this morning. Now, just like 30 minutes ago, stocks, you know, futures are up 400 points. But this is after, over the weekend, everyone's running to gold and nervous about what's unfolding in the election right now. You've got Europe under a new round of lockdowns. Announced this morning, we saw from Boris Johnson that the UK could be under lockdown through the end of the year. What that's going to do to the broader economy. The US dollar right now is up against the euro or against the pound. And now you've got new lockdowns in Portugal and France. Could that trickle over in the United States? You're seeing slowing coronavirus cases in the United States suddenly. It's just like the seesaw back and forth. So no wonder the market is having this, you know, anxiety moment. But what they're most nervous about is, if you look at what the hedge funds are saying this morning, hedge fund managers are saying this morning, is that they're looking for this nightmare Biden scenario where Biden wins, but there's no blue wave in Congress. And they have a right to be scared. They have a right to be scared because right now, all of these races are tightening. The Senate is currently split 53-47. And the reason they're nervous is because they're nervous we won't see a stimulus. It's amazing how Wall Street suddenly cares about a stimulus, isn't it? So sweet. It's kind of adorable, like Baby Yoda. The Senate is currently split 53 to 47 between Republicans and Democrats. Of course, Republicans run the Senate. There are 35 seats up for grabs at this moment in the election for the Senate. Of those, 23 belong to Republicans, 12 belong to Democrats. And so you have races that were widening. We thought that they could be blue victories, that Biden could be swept in with this massive blue tidal wave, win the House or retain the House, win the presidency, win the Senate. But now it's looking like the Senate could remain, and it looks like a toss-up at this moment, and it could remain in the camp of Republicans for the foreseeable future. Why? Mitch McConnell and his pushing through of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. And he even said so much. Of course, he came out just a few days ago and said that these vulnerable senators in some of these vulnerable districts can now basically thank him for pushing through Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, for allowing those races to tighten. It solidifies in the minds of their constituents and their big donors the idea that, wow, Mitch McConnell, these Republicans, they're going to listen to us. They're going to get this stuff done. Therefore, we're going to throw more money behind your campaigns, which has also started to happen in the past week. So these races have been getting a lot more money. Therefore, they're able to spend more money on ads, and that's why these races start to tighten. So as a result of this, what does this all mean? Well, all of these Wall Street types are ditching stocks, moving over into gold. Right now, bullion, gold bullion was up for the second straight day with Joe Biden leading Donald Trump nationally in these polls. But now you have these latest polls showing Biden leading narrowly right now. It's tightening up in Pennsylvania, Florida, Arizona, Wisconsin. These are all key states that Trump carried in 2016. Gold has given up ground during the presidential race's closing stages. So now gold has dropped a little bit, which is even making it more attractive for investors to jump on as a hedge against this craziness right now. Investors wish they could sort of take a long weekend right now, just like close their eyes, not pay attention to what's going to happen. But of course, tomorrow is election day, and that's going to determine who holds power in Washington, D.C. for the next 2 years. But the big question, of course, is the stimulus. Right now, if Biden wins and the Senate remains Republican, do not count on any stimulus coming anytime soon. Because that affirms for those Senate Republicans who did not want a large stimulus package, why should we give it to them? We're going to really work with newly elected President Joe Biden on a stimulus package, a massive stimulus bill. $5 trillion has already gone out to these billionaires, but they want more of it. They want to be able to buy back more of their stocks, not invest in research and development, overinflate their stocks and get richer while you end up suffering. So this could be the worst possible scenario. I think they're also starting to realize, according to the data this morning, that if we don't get a stimulus, that if Biden is elected and the Senate remains in the hands of Republicans, that a lack of stimulus means a wave of foreclosures, a wave of evictions it's already unfolding, and a lack of consumer spending as we head into the holidays. So questions overnight about big tech, and could that bubble be bursting for Apple and Google and Facebook, et cetera. Yeah, guess what? It turns out if people don't have money to spend, they don't spend money. If their credit cards are maxed out, they can't use their credit anymore, and they're in debt, they don't tend to spend money. They have nowhere else to go. And guess what? When times are tough like this, people tend to spend money on the things that keep a roof over their head. If they can afford it, if they haven't lost their job, their only source of income, they have no health care, they can't pay their rent, they can't pay their mortgage, all of those things. I want to hear your feedback on these stories and more. You can do so very easily by just joining our channel. You can become a channel member here where you can chat with us. Just go to morninginvest.com/join. Today is our members only chat day. We're going to be doing this from now on because our channel thankfully has gotten very large and a little unwieldy. So we want to be able to have the chat be a reasonable place for people to have an interaction. So thank you so much. Stocks have typically gained more when either party has a flip right now. So right now, anytime we have a transition of power to another president, stock market actually does well. Stock market really does well. It doesn't really matter, as David's pointing out earlier, it really doesn't matter who wins, because he's right. It really doesn't matter. Wall Street has already said that they're expecting a Biden victory. And Wall Street's fine with that, because nothing is going to change for them. Very little is going to change for Wall Street. Let's be honest. Joe Biden is already looking to pack his cabinet with former Wall Street people. These are people who have gotten, you know, millions of dollars from Wall Street that he's going to surround himself with. Do you think Wall Street's worried about Biden? A guy who has expanded our footprint in the Middle East, a guy who has voted to increase our defense spending. Do you think they're worried about that? No, but what we should be worried about is if the Senate doesn't swing one way or the other. If it doesn't swing blue, then there is no stimulus coming anytime soon. And Senate Republicans will sit on their hands on this. Mark my words. So right now, long term, President Trump or potentially President Biden will be confronting a volatile market. The question also this morning is, who will be the Fed chair? So if Biden becomes president, will he keep Jerome Powell on as the Federal Reserve chair? Will President Trump make a switch at the Fed? He has at times expressed discomfort, distaste of Chairman Powell, wanting him to act in ways that he would have otherwise wanted him to, but he hasn't, and he sort of sat back and didn't change policy. But then they've come together over the time. You know, they've from time to time they've seen eye to eye. So this volatility in the stock market and the broader markets is real, and it's all being fueled by this one question this morning, whether or not we'll see a blue wave tomorrow. Let me know in the chat. Do you think we're going to see a blue tidal wave, a blue typhoon, whatever you want to call it? Democrats pushing into a major victory, sweeping all chambers of Congress and the presidency. Or will the Senate remain? You have to wonder, you know, I'm looking at the numbers right now out of Kentucky, where you have Mitch McConnell winning again. One of the most least liked senators in the country. How is that possible? I don't know. You have races in Iowa. Joni Ernst, we thought, well, maybe, you know, she didn't know the price of soybeans. Maybe she's going to get tossed out. Now that race is expanded. She's doing better in Iowa now. So look at Maine. So these are the real states to watch right now. Kentucky, I want to watch Maine. Of course, Susan Collins in Maine. Longtime Republican there, who's been a thorn in the sides of Republicans and Democrats, quite honestly, and Iowa. So those are some of the tighter races I'll be watching. I'll also be watching Alaska. Will Dan Sullivan, after we learned about his crony capitalism with the Pebble Mine out in Alaska, basically being bought and sold by the mining companies, so that he will roll over and let them pet his belly like Grover, so they can push through these environmental catastrophic new mines in Alaska. So these are the races I'll be watching. Let me know in the chat below, what do you think is going to happen? And please subscribe. YouTube tells me that only 70% of you actually you watch the channel, but only 30% of you are subscribed. So please subscribe if you are a regular watcher of our channel. We're live at 9 a.m. Eastern time every morning. So how are we looking, Dave, in the chat? Is everything flowing the way that we should? This is our new, we've got a whole new setup today, all of our new technology. I'm super excited about it. How are we looking?
Yeah, we're looking good. I just want to reiterate again, because people don't understand what it's like to have a channel where you've got like thousands of viewers and moderating chat so that it becomes a decent experience for people, because it can get out of hand really fast with people promoting stuff and everything. And if you don't have anything moderating in there. So yeah, some people are like, wow, the chat's really being moderated. Yeah, and it has to be, just because it can become a... Does anybody remember MySpace? You guys remember how bad MySpace got with all the animated GIFs and all that stuff? Well, we don't want the chat to be like the end of MySpace.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to have it. I mean, and it's better for the community. You know, it's much better for the community, because I have so many people here in the chat that'll say on a regular basis, you know, Hey, can you please turn on members only because, you know, the trolls are out. It's awful. I don't mind a difference of opinion. You know, if I say something, you disagree with me, I want to hear about it. Right. I want to have a great conversation here.
So it's not, but it's when not people censorship. Are here,
exactly. We do not believe in censorship. It's moderation. So if you're here, you want to promote your t-shirt company, or we get people in here once in a while that like, there's this weird, like crypto thing going on where you see people like, I've made a lot of money from John over at cryptocurrency.com. And then other people will jump in and they'll say the same thing. Yes, John has been great for my wealth building. You'll see that pop up in comments on YouTube videos. It's like they all comment at once. What the heck is going on with that, by the way? Do you know anything about that?
What is it?
You know, where like you'll make a comment or someone will make a comment like, I've been making great money with John over at Crypto X something company. And then like seven other people immediately post a comment. They're like, John, I've worked with John. They're all like bots.
Yeah. Those are automated.
So they can infiltrate.
Well, that's the thing. When that stuff infiltrates, it makes it a bad experience for you guys. So. All right, Bingo. There's a question on the screen there. I don't know if you can see that. We got a super chat from Painting with Christy asking, how does the Senate swing from Dem to Republican? If the Prez is a Democrat, then doesn't the Senate become Democratic?
Well, no, because totally different race. I mean, you're voting. Remember, we have 50 senators, right? Two for each state. And so typically in every 2 years, one of those senators is up for re-election. Very rarely is it both of them, unless there was some sort of death or something. Usually every 2 years, you're voting for a different senator in your state, right? And so right now we've got 35 senators that are up for re-election or, you know, election for the very first time. So if you're in Pennsylvania, then you have the opportunity to vote for your senator. You know, the race for Senate right now. If you're in Alaska, you have the opportunity to vote for Dan Sullivan or against Dan Sullivan. And I would definitely ask you to vote against Dan Sullivan if you're in Alaska. Same thing is true of Maine. Only people who live in Maine get to vote for either Susan Collins or her opponent. The same thing is true in Iowa. So, you know, that's why they always say all politics is local. Right. Because a lot of people think that the most important race is the presidency. But when you look at all these federal judges, when you look at what happens at the local sheriff's level, I mean, this is the major argument right now is, can you make sure that these independent races, these small town races are the focus for a lot of people? The sheriff, the district attorney. That's what a lot of this Black Lives Matter movement has been about. Like, don't be have your eyes glaze over at the presidential level. Get out there and vote at the local level. Like, if you don't think that this district attorney in your backyard has been doing well by your community, then go out and vote in a new district attorney. So all politics is local. I know we get very often wooed by the presidential race, but let's be honest. Most politics and most policy is driven at the local level. So get out there and vote. Get out there and vote.
We have another question. If you want to take it, you want to keep taking questions or you want to move on?
Yeah, no, I love this. Keep it doing.
So a question from John Shanks. I just got my ballot online last night in Maryland. Do you think they will count it if I put it in the Dropbox?
If you put it in the Dropbox, yes. That's the thing. You have to get that. I mean, at this point, it depends on what state, but do not put these things in the mail at this point. I mean, that's the every state is different. They're having these court battles over these things. If you can get to a Dropbox where it's physically dropped in and therefore counted, yes, please do that at the Dropbox level. Unfortunately, you're having to deal. We're going to talk about voter suppression here in a moment. I mean, you have these like fake Dropboxes popping up. Have you seen these things? Let's see if I can get one in here. We had it in the newsletter the other day. I don't have the graphic for you. I wish I did. But yeah, in California, Republicans in California were setting up fake drop boxes. And they literally, like, someone took a filing cabinet, stuck a piece of paper on it, says ballot box, like something you see in a Peanuts cartoon. And people were dropping their ballots in there. Yeah, and prosecutors in the state had to say to these Republicans, stop creating fake ballot boxes in order to suppress the vote. So all of these votes that went in these ballot boxes, what's going to happen to them? Who knows? Probably wound up in the ocean somewhere. So make sure it's an official drop box. They're gigantic. They're like the size of a cargo container, a lot of these things. So be careful.
Come on, man.
Be careful. Come on, man. All right, we got another careful
$5 super chat. Clayton, how true is it Biden involved with Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, boy, I wish I knew. But boy, have you seen? I have no idea. I mean, but think about how many dirty people have been involved in this at this point. I mean, how many times has Bill Clinton been to his private island? Think about the amount of names that we're going to see if, you know, these things are unsealed from these Ghislaine Maxwell, depositions. Apparently right now, Ghislaine Maxwell is every 3 hours she's being awakened and given a body cavity search. Every 3 hours.
Jeez.
She doesn't even stand trial for like another year. Can you imagine that?
Well, and just think that
I don't want to be awakened.
That powerful, that, you know, the Hollywood people, like, think about how many people had been associated with that. It's kind of like Harvey Weinstein. It's like there's so many people that are connected to those people because they're in that circle. So just because they were seen with them once doesn't necessarily mean they were in cahoots, but, you know, birds of a feather.
Right. Like, I've got my picture. Exactly. I mean, that when you're flying to their island, that's a little bit different than just having a photo taken with them, right? Like if I inadvertently met Jeffrey Epstein one time, I don't know. I mean, I interviewed thousands of people at Fox when I was there. No, I never met him, I don't think. But like, if there was a photo where I was in the same audience as him someday, and I don't know, you know, I have certainly interviewed President Trump like 30 times, right? I have photos with President Trump. Does that mean that I'm also to like hanging out at Mar-a-Lago? No, but I met him, you know, so there's a lot of stuff that's coming out with this, and it's going to be frightening, especially when she heads to trial. But I think it's not even, she doesn't even face trial until like June. So she's got to be getting a body cavity search every 3 hours until June, whenever her trial is. I don't want to be awakened with a body cavity search.
And she's in a cell? That. Like, what is purpose of that? If she's in a cell, where do they think she's going to get, like, contraband?
Well, I mean, look at Jeffrey Epstein, right? He was in a prison that's held, you know, the World Trade Center bomber, right? I mean, you have some of the most, you know, El Chapo. We can keep El Chapo safe, but we can't keep Jeffrey Epstein safe, and cameras mysteriously turn off. No wonder they're checking her, because, man, this goes all the way to the, you know, the height of power. When this stuff comes out, now, of course, Prince Andrew is going on his charm offensive, trying to, how do you come back after that? You know, like, you start doing Today Show appearances, and I don't know, you start going on The View. Like, yes, I hung out with underage girls on Jeffrey Epstein's island, but can we all just look past that? Time to move on. Let's look beyond that now.
I actually get that a lot. People think that I look like one of the Baldwins. Not a Baldwin.
Well, you know what could help you, by the way, to look like a Baldwin is today's show sponsor, our friends over at Manscaped. That's right. First of all, I have a sense of humor. David has a sense of humor. I think most people that watch this show have a sense of humor. If you don't have a sense of humor, then you shouldn't be watching this show. But you know what I love more than anything? I love a company that has a sense of humor, that doesn't take themselves too seriously when it comes to their marketing and advertising. They're saying, hey, we know that men need to shave, right? And we know that sometimes men don't like talking about it, but they will with their buddies. So why don't we build our advertising and marketing around it? And this is exact. And first of all, by the way, they've also built fantastic shavers, top of the line, that don't hurt. They're fantastic. I'm talking about our friends over at Manscaped. So you get a box, you order their special box, and you open up the box, and it says this right when you open it. I love it. You got one of these, didn't you?
I do. Yep. And I use it regularly. I mean, I just got it probably a month ago. And I really like
it. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And what's great about it is, you know, you order their main package here. They have their brand new improved Lawnmower 3.0. It's what it's called, their Lawnmower 3.0. When you order their box, they're going to send you their Reviver, their Preserver, their deodorant. You get a pair of underwear, the boxer briefs. You get this awesome, like, really premium charging stand as well, so you can keep that right in your bathroom. And you won't get hurt when you're using this. They use precision engineering tools for your family jewels. I love that. They obsess over their technology. I use it on the beard, you know? I use it on the beard and the sideburns and all of that stuff. And when I tell you it's premium, I mean it's premium. This battery will last up to 90 minutes. That's right, 90 minutes. So you can take a longer shave. Waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower. That's right. You can use it and groom in the shower with this. It is premium stuff, folks. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. So I'm excited about it because you're going to get 20% off and free shipping. 20% off and free shipping. All you need to do is go to manscaped.com and you get 20% off if you use the coupon code INVEST. Coupon code INVEST. To take it, you know, look, the holidays are coming up. Men need this, whether it's beard, other parts of the body, and it's premium. Listen how fantastic that is. And you're going to get free shipping. So go to manscaped.com, use the coupon code INVEST. We are growing around here. So thank you so much, Manscaped, for your support of Morning Invest and having a sense of humor. I appreciate that. We've got a lot more to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about voter suppression. We're going to talk about the mainstream media lying to you again, which I know is shocking.
Wait, again? Really?
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I mean, we've watched it. I've witnessed the New York Times lie, bald-faced lie. Is it bald-faced? It is bald-faced, isn't it?
I think it's bold-faced, isn't it?
We should... Bold-faced? We should ask Manscaped.
Know. Yeah.
Is it bald?
Bald-faced.
Is it bald? I mean, it is shocking. The mainstream media, folks, is lying to you once again. I know it's so hard to believe. But guess what? The mainstream media rewards liars. And I've seen it happen multiple times on major networks where you'll see, for instance, like James Clapper. You'll see these other national security state guys who they go in front of a Senate committee and they're called out for their lies. They write a book. And guess what? The next day, they're working at CNN or they're working at MSNBC or they're working. I mean, God knows where else. Working at Fox. They're all over the place. It's insidious because the mainstream media loves these deep state national security people. Because they're untouchable. Oh, he worked at the CIA. He must be telling the truth. Oh, he worked at the Department of Homeland Security. Yeah, he must be telling the truth. You want a job? That's exactly what happened with Miles Taylor. Now, of course, just I want to set the stage because over the next few days, folks, I mean, today, I'm sure you're seeing it today. You're going to see it tomorrow as the election's unfolding, trying to get your vote, swaying your vote in the last few hours. If you think it's bad right now, just wait until tomorrow because the media is going to dig in its heels on Election Day. They're going to try to spin, you know, your narrative one way or the other until it becomes blatantly obvious that they're just totally full of crap. In the past few, so that's what's going to happen, right? We're going to see a clear winner. And you watched them hemorrhaging on MSNBC when Hillary Clinton was losing. They couldn't believe it at Fox when Barack Obama was winning. I mean, Karl Rove lost his crap. He was apoplectic. He couldn't believe it. He's like, I'm getting text right now telling me this isn't true. That was on Fox. And then, you know, and then they couldn't believe it that Donald Trump was winning. They couldn't believe it. Florida? No way. Florida's actually voting for Trump? That can't be. And then they go into spin mode. And you're going to start to see a lot of this over the next 24 hours. So if you're watching this show, you know we won't give you the spin. I'm going to pick on both sides equally. You know that's what I do here. Well, here's a first over at CNN. CNN, of course, is just plain awful. It's so painful to watch. Like, it's literally painful. I can't watch it without making my skin crawl. This is the place, CNN, where discredited hacks go to get a job after they've been called out. After they've been called out either in a congressional testimony or by other members of the media that actually dig in, journalists who do their job and figure out that this person is lying. That's where they go. go over to CNN to get a job. So that's exactly what happened to this Miles Taylor guy. You know this guy. He's the guy that worked for Trump in the Department of Homeland Security back in August, of course. He released this video. We showed it here. It was a pretty damning video. It was a pro-Biden ad slamming President Trump, saying that he's one of the most disengaged executives that he's ever seen. And he couldn't believe it. So that's why we need to throw our support behind Biden. He said, look, I'm not a Democrat, but we've got to make a change. If you didn't see that ad, here it is.
I served as the chief of staff of the Department of Homeland Security under the Donald Trump administration. And it was my job to help the Department of Homeland Security to keep our country safe. What we saw was terrifying. The president wanted to exploit the Department of Homeland Security for his own political purposes and to fuel his own agenda. The California wildfires. He told us to stop giving money to people whose houses had burned down because politically it wasn't a base for him. Month after month, he said he wanted to have a deliberate policy of ripping children away from their parents to show those parents that they shouldn't come to the border in the first place. A cyber attack, terrorism threat. He wasn't interested in those things. He was one of the most unfocused, undisciplined senior executives I've ever encountered. And even though I'm not a Democrat, even though I disagree on key issues, I have to support Joe Biden for president. And I'm confident he won't make the same mistakes as this president.
Defending Democracy Together is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Right. Super PAC. So that was the ad, right? Okay. And President Trump came out and said, I didn't hardly know the guy. I don't even know who he is, and et cetera, et cetera. That's not so bad, right? He's outraged. Okay, wow, this guy, he worked there, and he's outraged about this president. He's coming out and he's talking about it. Well, then we start to peel the onion back on this Miles Taylor, and I'm not discounting that he thought that President Trump was a failure as president. I give him that. I don't hold that against him. What I do hold against him, though, is the fact that we've learned now, after he admitted this last week, that, of course, he was the guy that back in 2018 penned the now famous anonymous article in the New York Times. Now, at the time, of course, the New York Times lied. I know this is shocking, right? The New York Times lying? They lie all the time. Back then, he penned this op-ed piece for the New York Times talking about how terrible it was to work inside this administration, how disengaged, how tyrannical, and how that there were other members, high-level members of the administration that were actively, in some ways, seeking a coup, trying to undermine him for the safety of America. That we're going to stay here and work anonymously and not tell you our names because we're doing your bidding. We're keeping the country together. Thank God we're working here for you. We're like moles. Well, now we found out last week that that anonymous writer for that piece was none other than Miles Taylor. But of course, the New York Times at the time even lied about who this person was. They claimed in their reporting, and when they wrote this, when they published this piece, that it was from a senior administration official. A senior administration official. Which, by the way, would make it at the level of like Mike Pompeo, you know, Secretary of State level. In fact, Heather Nauert, a former colleague of mine at Fox, who was a State Department spokesperson, remembers how damaging this was because she was being harangued on a regular basis, and this was undermining our ability to get work done in the United States around the world because she was having to answer questions. Is Mike Pompeo the guy that's trying to undermine Trump? Is he the guy? This anonymous? He wrote this? Because it's a senior administration official, so is it Steven Mnuchin? Is it Mike Pompeo? Is it Ben Carson over at HUD? Wouldn't that be funny, actually? Sleepy Ben Carson writes this piece. That'd be funny. You know, then who else is it? What other member of your cabinet, senior administration official, is writing this? Well, it turns out that was a lie. And the New York Times knew it. And the only reason that this story really had any legs was because the New York Times put it out there as a big story by saying it was a senior administration official. Because at the time, so many people were saying the exact same thing as Miles Taylor. CNN was reporting it every night. Rachel Maddow was doing a show on it every night. The opinion pages of the New York Times itself saying the same thing that this opinion piece written by Miles Taylor was saying. There's nothing different. We had already seen the Muslim ban. We already saw a number of things, environmental rollbacks, the sudden withdrawal from the Middle East, cozying up to North Korea. So all of this was already happening. This was nothing new. But again, the reason it was a big deal is because the New York Times lied about it and said that it was a senior administration official. Okay. Now, well, last week, you know, Miles comes out and admits all of this. Fine. But what makes this even more bizarre is that since this ad ran back in August, CNN hired the guy. So as soon as this ad for Biden comes out, a week later, Miles Taylor is now working for CNN. He's now employed by CNN as a CNN analyst. Well, Anderson Cooper interviewed Miles Taylor before he admitted that he was the anonymous guy. He goes on Anderson Cooper's show, and to Anderson Cooper's credit, he was seeing right through this lie. Apparently, he's got some good sources. He knew that Miles Taylor was lying. So he put him right on the spot, and he asked him, "Are you anonymous? Are you the one that wrote the anonymous piece in the New York Times?" Watch how he responds.
There was an op-ed, there was a book by someone calling themselves anonymous. Are you aware of who that is?
I'm not. Look, and that was a parlor game that happened in Washington, D.C., of a lot of folks trying to think of who that might be.
Yeah, it's just a parlor game. I'm not. I don't know who that is. I have no idea. Look, that was just I'm not. And the quick changing of the subject, right? No, I'm not. You know, that was just something in D.C. People just went, it was a parlor game. What's a parlor game? Who even says that? It's like something you say, like an H.G. Wells novel. Is there crime afoot? Or is it just a parlor game? A parlor game.
Got my own thoughts about who that might be, but you know,
I've got my own thoughts as to who that might be. I got my own thoughts as to who that might be. Yeah, I don't know who that might be, but I've got my own thoughts about it.
President, and I certainly don't.
You're not anonymous, though. Look at him smiling, Anderson Cooper smiling. He knows. He knows he's full of shit.
Don't want to. I wear a mask for two things, Anderson. Halloweens and pandemics. So, no.
Yeah, he hadn't thought of that answer before. Let me go to my joke book. Hold on, I got my... When someone asks me if I'm anonymous, joke book. I only wear masks on Halloween and pandemics. Got it right here in my little joke book. So I don't know. I don't know who that is. I don't know who Anonymous is. So he lies. He lies straight out to a CNN anchor. And then is hired by CNN. So CNN knows he's a bald-faced liar. Did we figure out what the answer is yet?
Bald or bald.
Okay.
Yep, they're both. It started.
He's
off
a bald-faced liar.
Yeah, bare-faced.
It started off as bare-faced.
Bare-faced, okay. And then was changed. Yeah. So.
The entomology of bald-faced liar. So he's hired by the network after they figure out that he's lying. This is what it means to hire over at CNN. And they have a long list of doing this, by the way. So when you see these types of things, when you watch these CNN analysts and you see that they've lied to the American people and now they're being hired to tell you what's the truth, how can you trust the mainstream media? So let me give you a scenario in which you're going to use Miles Taylor for a story. Oh, we've got this story about the Department of Homeland Security, and there was a mysterious overseas trip that President Trump may or may not have met with President Xi of China, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, you see how this goes. We want to bring in CNN analyst Miles Taylor, to give his perspective on this. Miles, what could you tell us about this mysterious new document that's emerged about President Trump meeting with... Well, I can tell you, my time at the Department of Homeland Security, we saw a lot of stuff we weren't happy about with the President of the United States, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. That's your new analyst at CNN. How can we trust anything you're saying? You just lied to one of the flagship anchors on CNN. I mean, how does Anderson Cooper feel about that? In fact, I would love to know if Anderson Cooper ever has him on his show again. Does he have enough say in his own editorial content? He'll be doing election night coverage. Anderson Cooper will. I'm sure along with Chris Cuomo and others. Will they be using this hack? Oh, and by the way, right after that anonymous article was published in the New York Times, he released a book. So look how coordinated all of this was. That book comes out called Anonymous, where he made a lot of money because it skyrocketed right to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Yeah, the New York Times bestseller list. Look, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here. And there's no way, there's no reason to even call it a conspiracy theory. He publishes an op-ed in the New York Times. Then shortly thereafter, the book called Anonymous skyrockets to the top of the New York Times. They lie about it, call him a senior administration official. The next step would be to find out if the New York Times publishing company made any money off of that. But just one thing at a time, Clayton. So there you go. And by the way, I love, you want to go back to this. I can't get over this because this bothers me so much. Going back to his ad. And
I served as the chief of staff of the Department of Homeland Security under the Donald Trump administration. And it was my job to help the Department of Homeland Security to keep our country safe. What we saw.
Oh, yeah, really? It was my job to keep our country safe. So by you remaining anonymous and pretending to be a senior administration official in cahoots with the New York Times, that was keeping us safe. So you literally have Mike Pompeo, who's a senior level administration official, being asked questions by foreign leaders as to whether or not he's trying to create a coup in the United States. That's keeping us safe.
Was terrifying. The president wanted to exploit the Department of Homeland Security for his own political purposes and to fuel his own agenda.
Oh, really? That might be true, but you're a liar. It's exactly what you did, Miles Taylor. Exploit the Department of Homeland Security for your own agenda and your own profit making. So you can write a book called Anonymous. Now you're a CNN analyst. You want to exploit? You want to talk about exploitation?
California wildfires. He told us to stop giving money to people whose houses had burned down because politically it wasn't a base for them. Month after month, he said he wanted to have a deliberate policy of ripping children away from their parents to show those parents that they shouldn't come to the border in the first place. A cyber attack, terrorism threat. He wasn't interested in those things. He was one of the most unfocused, undisciplined senior executives I've ever encountered. And even though I'm not a Democrat, even though I disagree on key issues, I have to support Joe Biden for president. And I'm confident he won't make the same mistakes as this president.
Defending the... There you go. So now I'm working at CNN, and I'll be telling you the truth suddenly. Hey, for his credit, Chris Cuomo called him a liar right on the air. How can anyone trust you? Good for him. That's at least one positive. So Chris Cuomo says, you're a liar. How can anyone trust you? We saw another example of the mainstream media lying to you. This morning, The Atlantic... Sorry, just let me pause here. Grover's upset about that, too. Wish we had a camera on him, but... Could you get that camera on him? It's outside. Oh, there's somebody... There's like someone like Spider-Man clinging to the outside of our building. Can you get the camera? So there's... literally, someone's like a window washer on the outside of... We live in this apartment, and... It's like a guy coming down the side. I thought it, frankly, it might have been like somebody from the CIA at first or something, like pissed that I'm doing the story. You never know. It's like, I'm just here as a window washer. You're talking about the deep state? I'm listening. Go ahead.
We're watching.
Hey, CIA guy. CIA guy, it'd be easier for you to just you know, become a channel member and watch our show live. So The Atlantic is having to do a backtrack. I used to really like The Atlantic, but to me, it just goes to show you, I don't know how many of you read The Atlantic, it just goes to show you how these mainstream publications that you've trusted over the years, it's really hard now to just fall in love with a publication by name. Like, oh, I love the New York Times, or I love the Atlantic, or I love the Intercept, because it's a thing, right? What we really love are the certain writers that you follow, certain personalities, etc. Like, you watch this show, hopefully, because you either agree or disagree with what I have to say. We have a good discussion about it, and you know that I'm going to always tell you straight about it. The Atlantic, of course, is a nameless, faceless publication with a bunch of different writers, many of whom I respect and I think do some excellent reporting. But then there are those that aren't. And now this morning, The Atlantic is having to backtrack because of a reporter who, by the way, when she worked for The New Republic, she had been discredited a number of years ago. Her name is Ruth Shalette Barrett. She wrote a number of stories, plagiarized a number of stories, changed the middle initial or middle name Shalott into S so that people would have a harder time figuring out that she had plagiarized stuff in the past, basically trying to hide her past journalism. And then The Atlantic hires her. So she wrote a piece that got a lot of attention just a few weeks ago, which was, I don't know if you saw this, about how Ivy League parents are concerned about the sports injuries that their kids are getting. I think you and I, Natalie, you and I even read that article. We were talking about that article. Remember that? About those? Yeah, anyway, she's not paying attention. Remember that article about the Ivy League parents who are upset about their kids sustaining injuries from their sports, like fencing and other things like this? It was a really weird story to kind of come out in the middle of this pandemic. I think it came out in August. Well, Eric Wemple over at the Washington Post, to his credit, started digging into it. And the thing that he's a media critic. One of the things that teed him off about it was like, all these kids that are doing fencing are getting injured. Like, that's, they wear a full, like, do you ever see a fencer? They've got like a full bee costume on, like with a wire mesh. The whole thing is like protected. How are you getting an injury from fencing with a little tip? So that was the first thing. He's like, that doesn't seem right. So he started looking into the story. Turns out the whole thing is made up. Ruth, who interviewed this mom of a young fencer at an Ivy League institution, she doesn't even have a son. She doesn't have a kid that fences. So now The Atlantic has had to go through, cull her stories, dig in to find out all of these inaccuracies and made up stuff. It's like the New York Times thing all over again, where these reporters are not leaving their home. They're not doing actual journalism. They're just making up sources. They're making up stories and passing it off as real news. So The Atlantic is now having to backtrack all of this. There are two big stories of the mainstream media lying to you this morning. Let me know your thoughts on this. You can weigh in on the chat below. Be sure to subscribe to the channel, by the way. It's very easy to subscribe to the channel. Just hit the little subscribe button and smash that like button if you want to support independent journalism. And it gets us out in front of more people who need to hear these stories. So thank you so much for doing that. Any questions come in, Dave, while I was dealing with CIA Spider-Man?
Yes, Sharon Miller wants to know, are you going live for the election?
Well, what election? The week-long election?
Yeah, for the results that are all going to come in by tomorrow, right?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. All of these states right now are basically saying, hey, and the election boards in these different states are saying, hey, you got to be careful because, you know, we don't know. Grover, are you done piping down over there? We don't know when these election results are going to be fully counted. The Trump strategy this morning, we're learning, is that they are going to, on election night, try to declare victory one way or the other to try to get the momentum of whatever results come in on election day. So, you know, if Trump ends up showing that they're up in Florida by the time we all go to sleep, they're going to come out and declare victory. We won. And so that will be driving the narrative. By the way, we were predicting this back in July, weren't we? June? This idea that there could be a delayed blue wave, that, and that's why the Trump campaign has gone all in on election day results, meaning voting tomorrow has been most important to their campaign efforts. Mail-in voting, absentee voting, they have not been pushing for this at all. Their main all-in approach right now is, hey, get out and vote tomorrow, November 3rd. Because we want to see on election day those results. Trump campaign. And then what will happen is, if we don't, it'll look like President Trump might be winning in certain states, but not all of the mail-in votes are counted. Not all the absentee votes are counted. So he's winning in Florida. He's got a 30,000 vote advantage. He'll come out on election night and say, we did it. But no major network will declare victory. And so we'll go into those wee hours and through the night. And Tom Brokaw, back in the day, would be sitting there eating saltines to stay alive. Remember Bush v. Gore? And we won't know. So we'll go to bed. I remember going to bed when I lived in the state of Montana. I was a political reporter for CBS News. And I think I finally went to bed at 2 a.m. I felt bad for Tom Brokaw. He's like, can I at least take a pee break? Can I at least get some saltines out here to eat? So I don't know, man. Dave, what do you think? You're on. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're going to see election results on that on tomorrow night?
Oh, no way. There's no way. Like, first of all, during Bush Gore, you remember how contested that was with hanging chads? I think this is going to put this that to shame, because they're going to be like, oh, they're missing these votes and they're missing these. No, we're not going to count all these because these aren't in yet. And I think it's just going to be, it could be weeks before we know anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. So unless we see on a Tuesday night, Florida is an overwhelming victory for Biden, like they're able to call it within a few minutes. That's it. If Florida goes, so goes the nation. So if Florida turns blue right away as they close the polls in Florida, and Biden is a clear victor in Florida, there's no way Trump wins. But if they are too close to call in Florida all night, I'm throwing up my hands. So I'll look at maybe doing a live show. I don't know how I would do it, though, because I don't want to just sit here for 4 hours saying Florida's too close to call. And then we're, you know, because I'll still be doing the live show in December. I'll still, like, literally, I'll just sit in front of this camera for 4 weeks, because that's what it's going to be like tomorrow. I don't know. So again, folks, pay attention to Florida. That's all eyes on Florida. A little drink here, and then I want to talk about voter suppression, and we'll get you out of here. Speaking of voting.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Somebody was asking about the newsletter this morning, John Shanks, about the Zoom scam you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we wrote about it in the newsletter this morning. That's why you got to subscribe to the newsletter. Morninginvest.com is how you go subscribe, totally free. But we had a story in there about Zoom and how there's this Zoom scam going around. Well, they'll send you an email basically saying, hey, we noticed that you were naked on Zoom and we've got the video file and we're going to extort you unless you send us, you know, 2,000 Bitcoin. Literally, you're going to get an email from someone that says, we noticed you were on Zoom and you were naked. I don't know if they're just sending this to Jeffrey Toobin. That's the only one they're sending it to. I don't know. But that this is the scam. So if you get an email saying that we noticed you were naked on Zoom and we have the video file and we will share the video file with the world unless you send us 2,000 Bitcoin, realize that that's a scam. Okay. And don't do it. But the second question is, like we raised in the newsletter this morning, like why, you know, if you know you're not naked on Zoom, then you have nothing to worry about. But if like you're like, oh, maybe I was naked a couple of times on Zoom. So I wonder if this scam is legitimate. There must be so many people naked on Zoom that they felt like that they could exploit this as an actual scam. You know what I mean? Well,
I will say this, like word of advice to everybody, like Clayton and I, we don't wear anything from the waist down, but you never know. Right. So if anybody threatened us, we're like, right. You don't have anything from the waist down. We're good.
Right. Exactly. All you've got is here up. Right. If I'm naked on Zoom, I'm not going to sit here naked with my shirt off. Right.
Exactly.
The waist down. You wouldn't know. Jeffrey Toobin style. I'm going to call it the Toobin from now on. We do have a merchandise store, by the way. Morninginvest.com/store. And what we want to do is be able to feature photos of you. If you've got one of your Grover mugs, sweatshirt, etc. Just take a picture with you drinking your coffee with your Morning Invest mug, or like in your sweatshirt, like I've got on, like this. Take a photo like this with your name, send it to us, and we will feature you right here on the show. We built a special new graphic to be able to feature you. So yes, grab your stuff right now if you want. We've got our Come On Man mugs over there. We have Don't Be a D.
Come on, man.
Face masks and our brand new sweatshirts, the Eco Conscious Collection. So check those out at morninginvest.com/store. So check those out. They are Grover approved. He grabbed one of the kids' dolls and has been chewing on it. That's that purple thing that you see. Okay.
All right, real quick.
Let's talk about voters.
Sunshine in the comments. Why I'm in timeout. So you guys, just so you know, in the comments, we're moderating all caps and everything now. So don't post in all caps. You can't post links and stuff like that. We're just trying to keep it a good experience for you guys. It's going to take some getting used to. We appreciate the memberships and everything, but like no caps, no links, and then you're good. So it won't moderate you if you don't do any of that. Carry on.
Right. So it's an automatic thing. So if you post something in all caps, it'll automatically put you in timeout. If you put a link to something like, hey, go over here and check this out, it'll automatically put you in a timeout. So just don't do that. Otherwise, we'll have to get the Manscaped lawnmower out and go after you. All right. Let's talk about voter suppression. Let's talk about voter suppression this morning. I love these voter suppression stories because it shows just how desperate both parties get during an election. And they try to hold on to this same group of voters year after year. And they try to like scrape votes off from the other side year after year after year. But they never actually go after the 100 million people that don't vote. Hey, there's an idea. Why don't we try to go after the people that don't vote? No, we're just going to keep trying to either suppress the vote, go after the votes that already exist, the people that voted for Trump last time, let's go after him. So that's how they do it. Democrats think they can win this time. This is literally part of their strategy. They think they can win by going after enough Trump voters. People who voted for Trump in the past, in 2016, but could be swayed to somehow move over to Joe Biden. Hey, you don't like what he did on trade. You don't like what he did for farmers. There's a lot of disenfranchised farmers. What about this, you know, Foxconn in Michigan or Wisconsin? Oh, these empty plants in Wisconsin. Remember President Trump promised you that? Why don't you come vote for me? I'm Joe Biden. Democrats will also do anything that they can right now to stop the Green Party from getting on the ballot. We interviewed Howie Hawkins here on the show, of course, the Green Party candidate, Howie Hawkins, told us about the outrageous voter suppression moves by Democrats in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Texas, to try to keep the Green Party off the ballot in order to take away that they would think would take away votes from Biden. I got news for you. These people aren't going to vote for Biden. Like now you're taking away their only option to vote for a Howie Hawkins candidate. The same thing was true of Jill Stein in Pennsylvania in 2016. The Jill Stein voters were not going to vote for Hillary. They said that. So what you're doing is you're fighting at the court level to try to suppress the vote. Well, Republicans, on the other hand, think that if they can just stop people from voting and use scare tactics, then that will help them. I told you about the fake ballot boxes they set up in California. Literally, a judge had to tell these Republicans, the state Republicans, stop putting out fake ballot box drop-off points, which I told you, they look like filing cabinets that someone stuck a piece of paper on that says, drop your vote here. So people are driving by like, hey, Mildred, there's a vote box. Let's go drop our ballots in there. And then there's like some little sniveling Republican with his like, you know, hand truck. All right, we got 20 of them. Let's get them out of here and hoist them up. And they make off. That's literally what was happening. Or on a much larger level, Republicans this year thought it would be great to go after your mail-in ballots. That if they are postmarked before Election Day, but they arrive after Election Day, that they shouldn't count. That we're going to throw out your ballot. Or that if you drive up to a drive-in voting booth in Texas, where this is happening, they have drive-in voting booths. You pull up in your car, you go into like a tent, okay? Someone comes up to you and hands you the ballot, and you're able to, in your own private car tent, to be protected from the pandemic so you don't have to go into a polling place, you're able to fill out your ballot and then submit it. Well, 127,000 ballots were cast this way in outside of Houston in these drive-up voting booths. Republican groups have been asking the courts there to stop it. We don't want these people who we know are Democrats in Houston voting. That this is illegal. And what they're saying is that under the law, you could not vote in a movable vehicle or a movable structure is the law. Well, take that, Republicans in Texas. This morning, the Texas Supreme Court has denied Republicans' efforts to throw out 127,000 ballots, excuse me. Republican groups have been asking to nullify these votes in Harris County because the voters participated in drive-through voting instead of walking themselves into the building. Which, by the way, this is how I've been getting my French fries for years. Going through the drive-through, it works. Unless I have to pee, in which case I pull over and then go into the McDonald's and come out. These drive-through things, I think we're on to something. The all-Republican court denied the request without an opinion. No opinion. That's it. Denied. It was a flat no. Take that. This was an all-Republican court that just basically laughed this off. Like, nope, sorry, done. However, the group's not giving up. These Republicans, man, they're not giving up. They're trying to suppress the vote as much as they can. They're taking the case to a federal judge later today. They're trying to disenfranchise a large portion of voters in the home stretch of this election right now. The thing is, though, federal courts are not bound by the state Supreme Court's rulings. Federal and state don't often get along. Federal kind of looks down on state courts. However, judges traditionally defer to the interpretations of the state law by their state court counterparts. And at the Supreme Court level, this is often the case. So, sorry, Republicans, you're not going to have this one happen. But what's interesting about this, too, is if they're allowed to then count these 127,000 votes in the Houston area, Texas is already leaning Joe Biden. This would have been a huge blow to the Biden camp if these 127,000 votes were not counted. But what's interesting is if they're now counted on Election Day, and by the time this federal judge would rule on this, maybe even after Election Day, it'd be too late. So they'd already be in the process for being counted. But folks, this is happening all across the country, these court challenges. To which I say, wouldn't it be great if both parties, instead of trying to suppress the vote and to try to keep other people off the ballot, like in the case of the Democrats, they actually were able to increase their tent by going after the 100 million people that don't vote? Wouldn't that be a novel idea? Actually put forth policies and ideas that could attract people? Instead of having to hire an army of lawyers to keep you from voting? That's American politics right now. Let me know your thoughts on this Supreme Court ruling in Texas. And be sure to subscribe to the channel. Smash that like button. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for supporting independent journalism and Morning Invest. We are live every day, 9 a.m. Eastern time. So thank you so much for joining us.
Smash it. Smash the like button.
Smash it. Smash it. Explode that like button. Grover appreciates, although he doesn't appreciate that because just a short time ago, some fireworks went off or something, some sort of explosion.
Is that a troll in his bed? One of those hair trolls?
I think it is one of those. Let me check and see.
It looks like one. I'm having a childhood flashbacks. Yeah, I don't think it is. I don't know what that is. Wow.
He literally ate the legs off of this this little troll doll. He's like, yeah, I did that. You calling me out on that?
Now he's going to finish it.
This is why we can't have nice things. I have to yell at the kids all the time because I'm like, anytime you put one of your stuffed animals on the floor, it's going to wind up in his mouth. So please, you know, keep it on your bed or keep it in your toy bin or whatever. That's the way it's going to go. So good. So how did everything go in the chat? Is everything looking good as we wrap things up?
Yeah, we got somebody wanted to know, Bobby, Would you create a recommended list of books you speak of and of consider worthy to read? You're so busy, I hate asking you, but would really like that. So maybe that's something you could throw in the newsletter.
It's a good idea, Bobby. Thank you so much. No, I'm never too busy to speak about that. Anytime, reading in our family is incredibly important. If you've watched us all summer long, you know that here on the show, we talked about like our kids' summer reading program, like from their school. And so they had a challenge from their school all summer, and parents could get involved with it as well. Like, how many different books could you read? Could you read a series? So I read 3 books in the Jack Reacher series. Could you read a book, historical fiction? There were a whole bunch of challenges that the school put out for the summer. And so my wife and I and the kids, we all participated in it. And I think it's incredibly important. I read a story yesterday about Elon Musk and said, you know, how is it difficult to learn rocket science? And how are you a guy that creates PayPal like Elon Musk, right? Becomes a billionaire and then now is like launching rockets, right? Wants to colonize Mars. Like, how do you do that? How do you start a company that bores giant holes under the ground, right? How do you create electric cars? How do you do that? And he said 3 simple words in response. I read books. So it turns out that he was borrowing one of his physicist's friend's rocket science books. He just kept borrowing like all of his rocket books. And he was just reading how to build rockets. And now he runs a rocket company, SpaceX. I mean, isn't that crazy? Like, he's not a rocket scientist. You know, he had an economics degree. He also then got a physics degree. But I just find it fascinating. Like, yeah, read as much as you can. That's the only way we learn. And read different viewpoints. Don't just read don't read the ones that support your own worldview. So just a few quick books I've been reading lately. I read the Bob Woodward book, Rage, about President Trump. It's important. I think it's an important piece of our American dialogue. So I read that book. A book that really I think is powerful for habit building is by James Clear, called Atomic Habits. That was a great book on habit building. I think it's one of those books you need to read a couple of times because there's so many great points in that book on how to start changing and building habits in your life. But yeah, I'll put together a little list and I'll feature it in the newsletter, or I'll put it here. We'll do it as a block in one of the shows one of these days. We'll talk about some of those books. So thank you for asking me that, Bobby.
And then we got a question from Sugar Zeus. Cool name. Do you own Cardano ADA coin? Are you staking it?
I don't. I don't own any Cardano ADA coin right now. The only cryptocurrency I currently own is Bitcoin and Ethereum. Now you can take. If you want to take advantage of a 6% interest savings account that you to earn 6% return on your money with cryptocurrency in the form of Ethereum, you can go to morninginvest.com/outlet. That is the savings account that I use. So when you put $100 into that savings account, basically it's being lent out. You're earning a 6% return, but it's backed by cryptocurrency. So it's outside of this shady, crazy federal banking system that we've got where they can just print money like crazy and where we are on the verge of collapse in the United States. I would not have my money tied up in the US dollar or the stock market. So if you are interested in that, go to morninginvest.com/outlet. They're a good supporter of the show. That's the only savings account I use. You can open the account with like $100, whatever you want. And they will deposit free money into your account just by using our link. You have to use that link in order to get it. But so no, I don't have any Cardano. I know that it's an exciting area right now, but you know, I don't know enough about cryptocurrency to feel confident going out beyond Ethereum and Bitcoin at this stage. I just don't. If that changes, I'll let you know. Any other questions?
This person is wanting to know how they can become a lifetime member. They love your show.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. I don't know. Can they do lifetime memberships?
Nope.
I don't think they
just
can.
Just show up
can
every
they?
Day.
That's how you become a member, lifetime member. Just show up every day. You know, like
for
I grew
life,
up watching David Letterman.
For the rest
Letterman.
Of your life.
For the rest of your life. Every night I watch David Letterman without fail.
Yep, I did too. Man under the seats. Remember the That's where, what was that guy's name? Chris.
Chris. Comedian. He had his own TV show then.
Yeah.
Yes, he had his own TV show. Chris Elliott. Chris Elliott, yes. Yeah.
Thank you, DS.
He was a writer. Yes. Very, very funny.
Yeah. I love that dynamic. But yeah, I watched that show religiously as well.
Oh, man. Some of those early... And to me, David Letterman, like some of the early stuff was David Letterman going out on the street is the best. When he would go do his man on the street stuff and go around New York City and... Remember him? He went to the lighting store, the light bulb store, and he just kept asking them if, like, do they have other things besides light bulbs? It was only like, but then he got too famous where he couldn't go out on the street anymore, and he'd have to hide in a van, and then he'd bring what's his name, Rupert G from Hello Deli next door, and he would send him out. And do different things where he would put a headset on Rupert and he would like tell him what to say with a little backpack and he would like just have him go annoy people.
was Super Dave? Did that come from Dave Letterman? Super Dave Osborne?
Oh yeah, Super Dave Osborne. Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was a David Letterman bit.
Yeah, Super Dave was he just died, right?
Yeah, not till within the past couple years, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of my favorite gigs was the Super Dave thing.
Yeah, Super Dave was great.
And Stupid Human.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you guys. So, thanks everyone. Thanks Dave, producer Dave in the control booth.
It was fun.
Show feels great. Love this energy. And let me know in the chat if you guys love today's show. So excited that we're expanding around here. Thank you guys for all of your support. We will see you back here tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time, for our Election Day special. We'll have the very latest. Oh, yeah, by the way, someone wrote and said they received their mug and it was broken. Unfortunately, the way that you order it, you just need to go back through the ordering process and let them know that you received a defective item. Unfortunately, like I have nothing to do with the fulfillment of that. So you just have to go right back through how you ordered it through our Teespring link and just let them know that it's broken and they'll send you a new one. If that happens,
they're very good about that too.
Awesome. And that's the best way to do it, right?
Yeah. Corey, what is that? Ick? LC, what is that?
Can you put the ick on the mug if I order one? The LCK?
What is that, Corey? I think that's probably a misspelling.
Oh, I see what he's saying. Okay, because don't be a D, by saying it's my only family saying that we have in our family is don't be a D. You know, it's my only rule in this family. Just don't be a D. And he wants to know if we can put the ICK just for him.
Got it. You know, you can get write a Sharpie a marker. Out. Yep.
Right. You get great a Sharpie mind. Out and do it yourself.
Yeah, you could even actually you can well, take thank a marker you guys. And do it and then coat it and then bake it in the oven and make it permanent. So
oh yeah. Like Demi Moore in Ghost. You can make your own pottery too.
Exactly. You could make your own mugs. We'll just send you stickers.
Your own giclée, isn't that what it's called? What it's called. Thank you everyone. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time for our election special. I don't know what we'll be doing special for it, other than it'll be a morning show on the day of an election. That'll be special. We'll have all of the latest polling, the last minute national polls, the latest state by state polls, where things stand. It's going to be a barn burner, and I'm excited about it. So thanks, everyone. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Much love. Signing off.